We're in part four of the series called RE. RE is a prefix. We've been looking at some important life-changing words that start with RE. We started off in week one with the word remember, and then in week two it was the word repent. Last week the word renew, and this week it's the word remain. Remain. And the focus today is how do we remain faithful? How do we remain connected to God and what He wants to do with His church, with His family of believers, right? Because it's easy. We talked last week about how easy it is to be inconsistent, how easy it is to disconnect. And so today we're going to talk about this word remain, remaining faithful. I want to talk about some blessings that come when we remain faithful and some consequences of not remaining faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and minister to us in a way where we would be responsive. We would be receptive and then responsive to what we hear. And we would choose to remain in you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is a passage where Jesus is talking to his disciples. It's probably in the last day or two of his life. He's getting ready to go to the cross. These were like some final things he wanted to tell his disciples before he died for them. And it's kind of where we ended last week. I kind of ended with this passage. I want to pick back up with this passage and move forward. But it's John chapter 15, verse 4 through 8. Here's what he says. Talking to his disciples. Remain in me as I also remain in you. And then he gives them a word picture of what that looks like. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And so in the context of this illustration, he's talking about remaining in relationship with Him so that you can bear fruit. And we know that fruit is synonymous with good character, Christian character, good works, right? That's the fruit of your life. The Bible says that you will know them, you will know believers by the fruit in their life. And He says you can't produce good fruit if you don't stay connected to me. In verse 5, he goes on. He says, I'm the vine. In other words, I'm the source of your nourishment, and you are the branches. In other words, a branch is connected to the root or to the vine, and through that, then they can represent the root of that tree or that vine, right? The branches are the representatives of what they're connected to. Now, we think of fruit. You know, we think of the fruit of the Spirit, which is part of fruit. It's not totally all the fruit, but certainly it's the fruit when it comes to Christian character, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And self-control, right? And so imagine you're walking by a tree one day and you see a branch laying on the ground. It's been cut off from the tree. It's either fallen off or somebody's removed it, but it's on the ground. It's not part of the tree anymore. My question is, can that branch produce fruit? Can that branch produce fruit if it's not connected to the root? No. And so that's the illustration. That's the point that Jesus is making to his disciples is you will not, if you don't remain connected, if you don't remain in me, then I can't remain in you, and therefore you will not have fruit in your life. And so he reminds them, you're the branch, I'm the vine. Divine. He's divine. That's a good way to remember it, right? Now, this word remain is an important word, especially in John's gospel, because over 46 times he references this word. Now, the theme of John is love, but the second most important theme in the book of John is remaining connected to the one that is love, so that what? We can be love and we can experience love in our life. And so remaining is a big word. It's a big deal to God and to John in this gospel. In fact, the word remain in the Greek is the word mene, which means to stay or to abide or to dwell. Here's what John's saying. If you stay in Christ, if you stay connected to Christ, he will stay in you. If you abide in Christ, if you dwell in Christ, if you remain in Christ, Christ will remain in you. And so this morning, real quick, I want to share with you two benefits or blessings of remaining in him. And then I want to share with you real quick four ways that we can remain in him. The way I look at that is these four things that I'm going to share today is like Velcro. If you practice these four things in your life, you will stay stuck to Christ. You will be Velcroed to Christ. And you'll never have to wonder about what this verse, I'm going to finish John 15 in a minute. You'll never have to wonder about what that verse means when it talks about, you know, eternal things, okay? So, if you're taking notes, here's benefit number one or blessing number one. You will bear spiritual fruit. If you remain in Christ, you will bear fruit. That's the point of this passage, is to live a fruitful life, right? You're either fruitful or you're fruitless, right? You don't want to be a spiritual or Christian fruit loop, right? You want to be fruitful. You want to produce fruit in your life. Go back to verse 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But, big but, apart from me, what? You can do nothing. Amen. Right? In other words, it's not that you can do nothing apart from him. You just can't produce the kind of fruit God needs you to produce for him. Oh, you can do good things. But it won't be, it won't last eternally. It won't pass the fruit test when you get to heaven. And so he says, I want you to bear much fruit. Now, fruit is necessary if you're going to live life well. Like in a marriage. What's the number one thing in a marriage? It's like love, right? Do you love each other? And how do you maintain that love? Right? I know some people, they fall out of love. And then they end up in divorce court. How do you maintain that love? Well, love comes from who? Jesus is love. God is love. So if you remain in Christ, then his love remains in you, and you have love that can remain in your marriage, but you got to both stay connected to the vine. The same thing is true if you want to be a good parent. What do parents need? P word. Patience. That's a fruit of the Spirit. You cannot be patient with your children if you're not connected to the vine. Stay connected to the source of what? Patience. That's a fruit of the Spirit. The same is true if you want to be a great employee or a great leader or a great student or a good neighbor. You've got to stay connected to the source that will provide you the things you need to be good and to survive, to last the test of time. You know, it's interesting, if you think about the things we pray for, half of the things we pray for, we would not need to pray for if we stay connected. How many people pray for patience? Listen. If you're connected to the vine every day, you should have patience in your life. Think about it. I think the things we pray for because we're missing them, we're lacking them because we're not staying connected, we're not Velcroed to the vine on a daily basis. Joy. How many people pray for joy? Lord, I just need joy today. Listen, if you're connected to the Lord every day, you're going to have joy. Lord, I need peace in my life. Well, stay connected to me. Amen. Branch, get up off that ground and hop back on the tree. Get connected. Reconnect. Self-control. Listen, I'm just telling you. I think the reason we pray for these things is because we're missing these things because somehow we've not remained in him to the extent that he wants us to and tells us that we can, right? You know my story. I've shared my story, and I'll make it real quick. I got radically saved. It was a mountaintop experience. I was on fire for God. But fast forward 3 or 4 years, and I'm having a conversation with my wife, and I said, if this is all there is Christianity, I want to go back playing golf. How do you get there? How do you go from being on top of the mountain thinking the Lord's the best thing ever to this isn't doing it anymore? Some way, somehow, over time, I disconnected from the vine. I was a branch that came off the tree. I'm disconnected, and I'm feeling lifeless. And so I remember her mother encouraging me, Bobby, you need to get back in church. You need to go to church. You need to reconnect. And I did. And fruit came back into my life, and I understood the importance of staying connected to the vine. You can get disconnected real quick and wander off, and it's not a good place to be. Here's the second promise. First, spiritual fruit. Second, spiritual power. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, sometimes we read that and we want it to be like the genie in the bottle, right? Name it, claim it. It's like, God, this is what I need. I'm expecting you to, you know, Uber me. I'm expecting you to deliver to me what it is I'm asking for. You say, whatever I ask, you'll do. And I think we miss the context behind that promise or that principle. You see, if we disconnect from God or if we're not really connected to God, we're going to ask for a lot of things that God will not give us because he knows it's not what he wants us to have or it's not best for us. And so you can ask, but it doesn't mean he's going to give it to you. And then we get mad at God. Well, go ahead and get mad. You know, we have kids that say, I want this, I want that, but we know what's best. We don't give it to them. They get mad at us, but we can handle it because we're the parent. Listen, God can handle you being mad at him because he doesn't give you everything you ask for. But I want to go back and kind of share with you the context of that verse with John 15:7. You might need to skip a slide up there. I'm going to skip a few things so I end on time. Go back to John 15:7. Here's a note that I made about this. When we connect with God through Christ and his indwelling spirit and stay connected to him, in other words, he's the vine, we're the branch, the more and the longer we remain in him, the more his will becomes our will, the more his desires become our desires, the more his heart becomes our heart. And when that happens, and we're doing this daily, then we'll know what God wants, we'll want what God wants, and we'll pray according to what God wants, not necessarily what we want. And when we do that, he'll answer those prayers. Does that help clear that verse up? Ask whatever. Ask whatever. Okay? According to God's will. Ask whatever, and it will be done for you. And so if you feel like your prayers don't have power, if your prayers aren't being answered, it may be because you're not connected to the vine as well as you could be or should be. So, those are a couple of benefits. Now, here's how you do it. Real quick, number one, remain, that's our word today, remain in God's word. Joshua 1:8, Old Testament, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Watch this, two words, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now, who wants to prosper? Who wants to succeed in everything that you do? That's only going to happen when you do the first part. When you meditate on his word day and night, and you obey everything written in it. So listen, if you're not prospering, don't blame God. Get back in God's word, day and night, meditate on it, study it, and then make it your mission. I'm going to live this out I'm going to dot the I and cross the T. I'm going to live this out in full obedience. And then just watch and see if he doesn't bless your life. Amen? Amen. So, My action step, my challenge for you today is, if you're not having a daily quiet time, start having one. Class 201 teaches you how to do that. And hopefully you'll be there Saturday to learn how to do that if you're not having a quiet time. Some of you, you went through 201 10 years ago, and you've forgotten all of it. You're not doing any of it. Come back through the class. You can repeat. You can come back through class 201. But you need to go online and sign up so we have a head count. Here's number two, remain in Christian fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Some translations say, as some are in the habit of doing. You know, you can develop the habit of never coming to church. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. It's really important that we remain connected in our fellowship, right? Now, that happens in a worship service like we are in right now on Sunday mornings. It happens in, let's say, a prayer meeting or a prayer service. It happens in Bible studies. It happens in our life group ministry. In fact, our life group ministry, we've modeled our ministry after the first New Testament church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What were they teaching? They were teaching the Word of God and to fellowship and sharing in meals. We do that really awesome. And to prayer. In fact, we fellowship and share in meals so well, it's half of our meeting. It's the first hour of our 2 hours, right, John? And then in the second hour, we study what the apostles are and we pray for one another. But that's a 2-hour life group meeting. We're just living out the word. It says they also worship together at the temple each day. Notice they went to church every day, not once a month, every day. Met in homes for the Lord's Supper. And shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So notice they met in large group, sitting in rows, and they met in small groups where we meet in circles. And so it's really important that we do this. That's part of the Velcro, that's part of the stickiness that happens. That's one way that we stay Velcroed to God is when we stay Velcroed to each other in Christian fellowship. Now, I have a couple of slides I want to show you real quick. So, many of you are going to be getting a year-end giving report, and for the last 4 years, I think we've attached some stats, some membership stats, just so you're in the know about where our church is in various areas. And here's one of the stats, what we call weekly average attendance. Now, we have, at the end of this last year, on our record, we had 550 members. That's both adults and children. 300 and some odd of those were adults. Pre-COVID, up to March 1st, we had an average weekly attendance of 402. I don't know where the other 150 were, but 402, which is a pretty good attendance, you know, because now regular attendance is once a month. It's not every week. That's not biblical. That's just cultural, but we had 402, but then watch what happened. COVID came. We went online. When we opened back up, only 180 came back in. And slowly that number's come up. In the fall, it was 248, and that's about where we're hovering right now. So I just want you to see the numbers. I don't know where everybody else is. I don't know where everybody else went. I know they're not all high risk. I think it got really easy to form the habit of not fellowshipping, and they're not back into community. And listen, it's going to be really hard for them to remain in Christ. Amen. And then they're not going to receive the benefits and the blessings of remaining in Christ. And so it's not for my benefit you come back. It's for your benefit that you come back. And it's for your benefit that if you can, you need to come every week. Amen. Our culture has slowly de-emphasized the importance of weekly attendance, worship experience. And I think the church is paying the price. I think the church is not as strong as it used to be. Who in here, when you were growing up, you went to church 3 or 4 times a week? A week? Yeah. We don't do that anymore, typically. And I think the church is losing some of its power, some of its fruitfulness. Amen? Now, here's another stat real quick. We talked about fellowship, right? Life groups. So 355 adults that could be in a life group. Right now we have 184, so about a little over half of our adults are in a life group, or that's not just life groups, that's life group and or Bible study. Only half of our church is engaged in either a life group or Bible. Is that a great statistic? I don't think it is. You know, I've been praying that we'd have 70, 75% of our church connected. And there was a time where we had about 65% of our church connected. And then COVID hit and boop, numbers all came back down. I just think it's one of the ways the enemy wants to keep us divided. Amen. If you're divided, you'll never be united, right? And so I just pray as a member of our church that you would take some of this, what we're sharing here in God's Word, serious enough to initiate and make it a priority. Here's number three, remain consistent in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18, Paul said, and he's talking to believers, pray continually. That sounds like remain, right? Remain faithful in prayer, remain consistent in prayer. Pray continually, for this is God's will for all of you. One of the reasons people fall away in their faith is they quit reading God's word, they quit fellowshipping, they quit going to church, they quit praying. You see how all those actions can separate the branch from the vine. And it's not that you have to pray all day long. You don't even have to pray long. You can pray short prayers. But would you just pray continually throughout the day so that you stay connected to the vine, right? And so in under point number two, maybe the challenge, the action step was to get in a life group if you're not in one, or get in a Bible study if you're not in one. The action step for number three is, would you start having a daily quiet time? And for extra credit, would you start showing up to prayer on Wednesday nights? Would you? If we're going to be known as a house of prayer, our members need to show up for it. If a third of our church shows up to prayer, I don't know if we qualify for a house of prayer. Members? And then here's number four, remain faithful in service. Service or ministry, right? Serving God, serving others. We have a class at our church called 301, and that's on March 6th. 201 is February 6th. 301 is March 6th. 4-hour class, same thing, but we're going to talk to you about the importance of serving. If you're not serving, you're swerving, right? If you're not serving, you're a branch that's going to fall from the vine. It's not going to be good. Galatians 1:15 says, God in his grace chose me even before I was born. Everybody say, chose me. Chose me. Point to yourself. God chose me. Chose. Come on, let's do it. God chose me. God chose me before I was born and called me to serve him. Amen. Ephesians 4:1 says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. What's your calling? It's to serve. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction. So, I think our natural instinct is we want to be served. We want to be catered to. We want somebody to wait on us, right? We want somebody to bring us our food. And God says, no, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And to what? Give my life as a ransom for me. In other words, I basically came to die for you. What if we all had a change of mind about that? What if we just said, hey, I'm not coming to church to see what I can get out of it for me. I'm going to come to church to see what I can give back to God and someone else. Even when you're not feeling good, someone's going to need you here. If you're not here, then somebody didn't get something God wanted you to give somebody if you'd have been here. Again, we just need to change our attitude. Who does not want you to be at church? The enemy. So when you say, I think I'll stay home, I'm not up to it, I don't feel like it. Who won that war? The enemy. Here's a stat of our GC members in ministry. It's fallen a little bit. It's still pretty good, but it's fallen. At one time, we were up around 65%. We're down to about 57%. I think that's just because people are still out. They're not back in, and we have just. But I'm just saying, it's keeping us from having all of our children's classrooms open. So if new people want to come, And they want to come to second service, and they have elementary kids. Guess what? They have to stay in service with their parents because we don't have enough leaders and volunteers to staff elementary service for the second hour. And how many of you in this room could be one of those people, if you choose to, that could make that possible for the benefit of somebody else? And what that's going to rub up against is what I want. That's you're going to feel that rub. It's not what I want. Okay. All right. Just tell that to God when you have a quiet time with Him. Amen. Now, I have to live this out. There's times I don't want to be here. There's Saturday night, Lord. He said, "You're the pastor. You got to be there." So I have to live this out just like you do, right? So I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to us. The shoe fits, wear it. Amen? Because here's what happens when we don't remain. Here's what happens when we don't remain, when we're that branch that stays on the ground. Verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you listening? If you do not remain in me, boys, disciples, listen. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So, Jesus, what are you trying to tell us? Are you telling us that, like, fire, you know, when I think about fire and burning, I'm thinking about, like, eternal judgment? Is Jesus implying that we somehow disqualify ourselves from heaven? There are probably some in this audience that said, yeah, that's what he's talking about. There's others going, oh, no way, he wouldn't mean that. It's an issue of controversy in the church today. There are people on both sides of how they would answer that question. You know, some that lean to the love of God would say he would never do that, and some that lean to the truth and justice about God would say, absolutely. And so I'm not going to give you my interpretation today because I think it would be a great carrot to bring you back for a series on this. I learned that in a preaching marketing class. In fact, there are about 80 scriptures that speak to this issue. And I won't tell you which one is in the majority. You have to come for the series. But let me tell you this. It's not as black and white as you might think it is. Because those that think he's not implying that think it's black and white that he's not. And those that think that he is implying it is black and white that he is. And so I'm a proponent of let's receive the full counsel of the Word of God. Let's look at all 80 scriptures that speak to this and then take that to the Lord and see what is he speaking to you. But I'm going to end on a good note. You don't have to worry about it if it's a negative. You don't have to worry about it if what? You remain in Christ and you do the four things I just talked about. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth today. Thank you for loving us and letting us in on how you see things. Thank you for reminding us of how much you love us and how you want to bless us. But you also tell us what's necessary for that, and that is to remain in Christ. And forgive us if we've not remained. Forgive us if we're loosey-goosey in our faith. Forgive us if we've allowed other things to get in the way and disconnect our stickiness. Today is a good day to repent of that and to ask you to forgive us and to recommit, to renew our commitment with you and start doing the things maybe we did at first when we first fell in love with you. And we can start that today. Maybe some of you say, I'm not as connected as I used to be or as I should be. Maybe some are thinking, I'm not connected at all. My prayer for you would be, why don't you choose to get connected. And then why don't you choose to remain connected? Connected to our life source, the vine, Jesus Christ. Just connect with him daily. In the same way that you have to eat food and drink water daily to survive, I've got to meet with my Lord. I've got to meet with him. I've got to talk with him. I've got to listen to what he has to tell me. I'm not going to go a day without doing that. And so, Father, would you hear our prayers today? And Holy Spirit, would you spur us to do what our natural flesh really doesn't want to do or feel like, but would you spur us in our spirit and influence our soul to obey what we've heard today so that we can all remain in Christ, remain faithful until the very end. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I love you. Let's go out and live this today and let the Lord bless us. And then next week, come back. Part five, I'm going to close the series, and my word is, it starts with an R-E. I'll see you next week.